Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 741. We're recording it on December 19th, although you're probably listening to this not in 2024, but in 2025. Show about technology and ministry. My name is Martin Spriggs, and we're so happy that you decided to join us today. And joining me, as usual, my podcasting partner, Sally Draper. Hello, Sally.
Hi, Martin. It's always exciting when you count us in. You always count down 3, 2, 1. And here we go, wrapping up our 17th year of podcasting. You've counted us in all those times. So pretty exciting to have a chance to look back at what 2024 held for us.
There aren't many podcasts that I'm aware of that have been around 17 years. Not that we were the first. There were plenty of examples out there for us, but the fact that we've had something to talk about for 17 years and the show has taken different formats, and you look back over those 17 years and all the people we've talked to and all the conversations you and I have had, that's by the grace of God. That's pretty cool.
It is. It is. And this was a pretty cool year, I must admit. As I look back at this year, there were definitely some exciting things that stood out. I think we could probably call it a year of AI, if we were looking for a theme that that wove throughout all our conversations this year. I would venture to say we mentioned it on almost every show. Right. It's really amazing the impact it's had already on ministry and technology.
Yeah. So our tradition has been to take this show and kind of focus on the year in review. Take a look at 2024 and look at all the categories that we usually stuff into a show and pick our highlights and kind of relive a little bit of the magic of 2024 and maybe reflect on those things. So we are going to do that today, kind of a fun show to look back. And Sally does a nice job of putting together these compilation pages of all, let's say, our ministry resources or interviews or picks. And we just kind of look at that and say, yeah, that one stood out, or those stood out. And those are the ones that are going to make up the show today. So if you've been a faithful listener, some of these may be familiar to you. But sometimes it's helpful to look at some of the things we talked about or picks with a little bit of time between that and now to see how they fared and how they have taken on a presence in our lives or not. So that's one of the interesting parts about this particular show. Sally, you want to start with events, milestones, episode names, you know, just kind of the big picture things that came to my mind as you thought about Wells Tech in 2024?
Sure. I think one thing that really stood out for me was our summer series. We like to make the show a little bit different in summer, make it a little bit easier to digest, because those are busy days and days where we're doing lots of different things than our normal routine. And so we chose an interview series this summer. It's something we haven't done in quite a while, where we just focused on talking to people from around the Synod and their ministry technology usage in their settings. And I found it to be just really insightful to hear from people in all different areas. We talked to a vendor from Concordia Technology Solutions that has some amazing church management software, Church 360, and other associated software from their company. We talked to
Service Builder,
Oh, yeah, definitely. We talked to home missionaries. We talked to world missionaries. We talked to a district president. We talked to people right there at the CMM doing the job day in and day out to support all the ministries around the world. And it was just a pretty cool series, I thought, that touched a lot of different areas.
Yeah. It is, as I kind of think about those conversations, very different than maybe 17 years ago when technology was, I think, just taking a very different form in a lot of churches and schools. And it's fun to see the adoption kind of across the board. Where people are far more comfortable with it, are looking for ways to use it and see its fit in ministry and doing some very innovative things. Not that there wasn't innovation going on 17 years ago, but times that times 100, and that's what you have in 2024. And that's super cool. So you mentioned talking to a number of people. In fact, we talked to people from around the world. Continents, not just our own, but we talked to John Gross in Quito, Ecuador, Jeremy Seeger from Chiang Mai, Thailand. That's neat too, that technology allows us to do that and to have these virtual conversations just like they're in the same room with you. That's pretty cool.
Right. And it's just such a blessing to us as a synod as we carry out work in these diverse areas to be able to use technology and connect that way. I just think it was a much different. I have a story about how and I can't remember who I heard this from, but how when people traveled to foreign missions, which was a lot more rare back in the day, they would actually carry cash with them for the mission setting and have this cash on them as they were on the airplane and things like that. I mean, it was just so different. And now we can get, supporting funds or whatever with the click of a button and stuff. So it just amazes me how we've progressed for sure.
Yep, for sure. We have a little segment here called Best Show Title. And this is something that Sally's laughing, but the show title is usually something I come up with as I'm putting together in post-production. And sometimes it's super boring and predictable, and other times it's more fun and self-evident. But Sally, what was your best show title of the year?
Yeah, I didn't let you pick one of these. This is totally me. I really love the title Silent Mice. So this is a show. I'm not even sure who was interviewed on this show or what the topic was, but I had a pick of the week of a new mouse I'd gotten because my mouse had died on me, and I got a stealthy one that has a silent click to it. And so the next thing you know, you told me that the title was going to be Silent Mice, and then I pick up and come up with a social media image type set up to be able to promote the show, and I just plugged into AI and got these little mice singing on their microphones, and I just thought it was totally adorable.
It
So,
is.
yeah,
Love it.
I thought that one was pretty creative.
Yeah.
So,
And it wasn't during Christmas either. That would have been even more fitting, kind of a
yes,
take
for
on
sure.
Silent Night, but pretty cool. And we have a little fun with that, of course. What else strikes you about 2024?
Yeah, just another AI mentioned. We'll probably talk about it a lot throughout this, but I discovered the website Suno. I think it was a recommendation from Michael Vlieger, who teaches at the school associated with my congregation here in North Mankato, Risen Savior. And he sent us to Suno, where you can put in some text and it'll write a song about it. And so it even wrote a Welsh Tech song. Just by kind of pointing it at our website, and it picked up our names and things like that. And its lyrics include Wells Tech, hear the message loud and clear. Wells Tech, faith and tech are near. Wells Tech, join the journey year by year. Wells Tech, they're pioneers. So there you go. I thought it was really
Must be
fun.
true, yes.
So,
Got their
yeah,
own
to get
little
the full
ballad.
effect, you got to listen to it. We'll have a link in
It
our show
is
notes.
pretty cool.
So you
Yeah,
can
I
hear
like
it.
it. I love it. All right. One of the segments that we haven't always had, but for certainly the last maybe decade, was a segment where we talk about resources that hopefully you can grab a hold of and implement and enhance your ministry. We call it ministry resources. We have one each and every show for the most part. So we wanted to pick or highlight a couple of those that came up throughout the year as particularly stellar. Sally, on your end, one come to mind?
It does, and I was just fact checking you. I went back to our first show, and there is no segment called Ministry Resources. I thought sure we did it from the very beginning, so I'm glad that you were right
But the
about that.
historian had to check, yes. The Wellstech historian.
WellsTech brain. Okay, my Ministry Resource of the Year kind of ties into something I've been involved with this year, and that's doing some print on demand, which means you can supply some imagery and a company will print it on pretty much anything you pick to put it on. And I thought this was a great thing to talk about in terms of schools and churches wanting to have branded merchandise available. People can wear their t-shirts or their sweatshirts or have a coffee mug with their brand, image, logo, whatever you'd want to upload in terms of imagery available. And I use Printify to do that. I think that w in the show we discussed this, there was a lot of different ways that you can do it, certainly. But Printify will let you do it pretty much 100% free. You set the profit margin. So if you just want to sell it at cost to your congregation and school families, then you can certainly do that. And they will give you a storefront on their website to send people to. And you can put it on everything from phone cases to sweatshirts. They've got an exhaustive catalog, 1,000+ items that you can put your imagery on and be able to sell it through them. And I've been really happy with the quality of different things that I've created there and ordered myself. They give you good guidelines to go by, and it's pretty easy to use. So if you're looking for a way to do that, I think Printify is a good choice.
Very, I think a desirable thing to do nowadays, certainly at church and school level, to have these this logo wear or different things that you can do as gifts to volunteers, giveaways, and at a pretty reasonable and on-demand approach too. So
Right. No inventory for you to manage.
Right, exactly. My ministry resource is AI related, and one of our show co-hosts, our semi-regular classroom technology correspondents, Rachel, I was
Reno.
going to say Feld, but it's Rachel
Reno.
Reno. So I have to check the pronunciation guide on that because it's not exactly the way it's spelled. But Rachel put together an AI tool repository. One nice thing about working with people who have the ability to kind of look across a space and put together a or triage or curate resources for others is that you get to benefit from their work. And she's done an awesome job at putting together a bunch of different resource, a list of resources, but it's not just resources, but how-tos, YouTube videos that walk you through usage, terms of use, even so that you can figure out if this is appropriate for your use and your use case. This is super helpful so that not all of us have to dig in and try all of these tools to find the one that meets our particular need. Rachel has done that at least in the AI tool space. And I'm assuming she does keep this up to date. I think she said that when she introduces, she tries to maintain this. This is a Google Doc or a Google site that she's put together and has all kinds of categorization by what you're looking to do, and it's pretty cool. Yeah, so thank you, Rachel, for doing that. Great ministry resource for a busy cold worker who's just looking to find a tool for a job, and this is a great resource to start with.
Yeah, and I can imagine keeping it up to date is hard because things are changing constantly. So kudos to
For
Rachel.
sure. Yep.
for that. We do have a compilation page of all of our ministry resources, Martin, for the year and for the 16 years prior. So it
Yeah.
does say it goes back to 2008, but I'm not quite sure exactly when we started it. But
And we've maybe called it different things too. I don't
sure.
remember. So the next segment of our show, which is a fan favorite and one of our favorites as well, it's that's when we interview folks. We're always looking for great conversations to have. As we mentioned, we've done a bunch of them. We had a whole series this summer. But we're always looking to talk to people, bring their experiences in. Because certainly Sally and I just have a limited set of things that we can experience or do or know about. But there's a whole wealth of people out there who are willing to talk to us, and we try and do that. Sally, which interview of 2024 stands out to you?
Well, there were a lot of good ones for sure, but the one that I picked for my favorite of the year was from May of this year. It's a tradition that we have where we typically talk to a seminary senior who's awaiting their first assignment into ministry and discuss their master's thesis. So they pick thesis topics all over the board. And this year we reached out to seminarian, now Pastor Silas Dose. I believe Silas is serving down in Arizona now. But at the time, he was awaiting that assignment, and he had written a thesis titled Here Be Dragons: Fantasy, Escapism, and a Christian Response. And I thought it was a really great treatment of maybe something people feel a little bit torn about. Should I be doing fantasy? You know, is this God pleasing or whatever? And Silas really explored it and came up with some interesting information to share about God pleasing fantasy. It was a fun paper to read, and I can't always say that about some of the theses, that sometimes they're a little bit over my head, and this one certainly was challenging, but I thought it was really well handled, and I enjoyed the experience of hearing about it from Silas. So.
Yeah, great research, and explored it and kind of tried to use some illustrations that were helpful to everybody as well to kind of bring it into everybody's kind of frame of reference. And he presented it well too, well spoken. And we hope that the Lord is and are confident that the Lord is blessing his work there in Arizona. So thank you, Silas. My pick for interview is a couple of gals that work here in the Senate office, Sarah Krause and Eileen Rosenau. I picked this for a couple reasons. I wanted to highlight the fact that there are some behind-the-scenes people that do some awesome work that this we would not function as a synod without. They work in our school's office, and they do the work of 10 men and women. Yeah, all the things that they have to do, and the data that they maintain, and the conversations that they have to have to keep the trains running on time, and to keep one of the biggest private school districts in the world, afloat. And they do an awesome job. I also wanted to highlight this because our dear sister in the faith, Eileen, had an aneurysm, brain aneurysm, and is still in the hospital and fighting for her life still. And following her progress and God's grace in her life. And there's a lot of challenges ahead of her, and we're not sure if we will see her back in the office at some point in the future. But we know that she is a woman of faith, and boy, she is on our hearts, in our hearts, and in our prayers as well as we pray for you, Eileen, and your family as you fight the results of living in the world that we live in, and looking forward to hopefully talking to you again one day, whether that be here on earth in the office maybe, or certainly in heaven. So I just wanted to highlight that interview because that kind of stuck out to me. Probably you too, Sally, as our sister in the faith is going through that at this point.
Yeah, there's nothing about technology that can solve, well, I shouldn't say that. Obviously, they're using medical technology to support her as best they can, but she has the one thing needful, and it's not technology. It's that faith in her heart, and we're so blessed to work with her and to be able to pray for her in this challenging time.
So keep her in your prayers and recognize that it is by grace that we serve. So, she was faithful in doing that. All right, let's move on to our picks of the week, and we allow ourselves a top three when we do this. We can alternate through our list here. So, Sally, number three on your top three picks of 2024.
Well, you aren't going to believe it, but it has to do with AI. But before I say that, I do want to say, I think it was probably a pick in 2023 that for me personally, it's been the year of the laser. And I've discovered my pyrotechnic side as I've really enjoyed doing a lot of lasering. I didn't put that in my list, but I did mention in the past that I had a laser and I've just really enjoyed learning and doing more with it this year for sure. My number three pick is an AI pick, and it's what I've found to be the most stunningly amazing image generator with AI. And I know there's a ton of them out there, and probably they are progressing as rapidly as possible to match what this one offers. This is a paid product. It's called Midjourney, and I believe it's priced right about $10 a month, something like that. But I'm just sharing my screen to show kind of a sampling of a huge variety of imagery that could be generated. And some of it is photorealistic, just amazing stuff that is being done with it. So if you're looking to explore a little, maybe just pay $10 and try it for a month just to get an idea of what a tool like this can do. And, you know, I don't necessarily have an exact ministry hook for this yet, but I think this is a look into our future and even just beginning to understand and explore what it's capable of is important as we move into this AI age that will have a big influence over our future. So Midjourney, midjourney.com.
Cool. I can think of a lot of ministry applications here. In fact, we're having an AI meeting later today at the Senate office here and the Center for Mission and Ministry, and Copilot has an image generator tool. I don't think it's quite as good as Midjourney, but some of these AI tools are very niche specific and do a very good job at one thing. And I think Midjourney is one of those where they really have spent a lot of energy in this one very narrow space, and it's pretty awesome. So that's why they can charge for it.
Sure.
All right, my pick number three. And I don't know if I think I may have had this on a list before, a top three list, but it wasn't last year, so I felt okay with this. Apple AirPods Pro. This is a hardware pick, and I tried. This is maybe could even be number one. You know, there is technology in your life that you use every single day, and this is one of those for me. There is probably not a day that goes by that I don't use my AirPods. I'm using one right now. I'm not using an AirPods Pro, but the set that I have at home, it is just something that I plug in at night with an iPad or a computer, either listen to music or YouTube video or whatever, so I'm not disturbing the entire house. But there are many, many occasions where these come in super handy. They charge up super quick. The fidelity of them is awesome. They fit well. I've gotten my money's worth out of them over and over again. I've had AirPods for years now. It's one of the best things I think that Apple has ever created. So just pretty amazing considering some of the things that they have done. But Apple AirPods Pro is my number three pick of 2024. Just something I really couldn't live without.
You know, it's interesting, Martin, as you were saying, in the evenings you put them in and listen to music or watch something on YouTube or whatever. I think there was a time period where we were all cutting the cable cord and we didn't, want to pay for cable anymore. We were getting streaming on our televisions and stuff. In my household, and it sounds like yours too, we don't watch TV anymore. If I want to watch something, I watch it on my device, kind of in private, technically. Maybe Kevin and I watch, House Hunters or something fun like that together occasionally. But for the most part, we can kind of do our own thing. And then Kevin tells me something interesting he learned, and I tell him something interesting I saw, and it's become kind of personalized entertainment, if you want to, and
And I
this
think
kind of
that some would
device.
say, well, that's detracting from the shared experiences, but I think it's almost highlighted those things that you decide that you're going to watch together. So, hey, we're going to sit down and watch The Chosen together or whatever. So it kind of highlights that experience. And then you kind of do the things that maybe are more interesting to you than your spouse or significant other, with the private set of headphones or whatever. So, Sally, what's number two for you?
Number two for me is a book that I read this year. It is called The 2-Hour Cocktail Party: How to Build Big Relationships with Small Gatherings, written by Nick Gray. And the reason I found and read this book was because of a women's ministry discussion around the topic. So, Wells and Women's Ministry, we actually interviewed Rachel Hollershorn, and I was very tempted to pick her interview as my favorite interview of the year because she's just so wonderful to talk to. But she kind of headed up a webinar series with Wells Women's Ministry, and I'm sure they're continuing them into 2025 because they've had great response to gathering people around a topic in women's ministry. And they're kind of all over the board, but in the early part of this year, they highlighted just building relationships and different ways to build relationships, especially with the ultimate goal of sharing your faith. And this 2-hour cocktail party was a really great kind of formulaistic book that told you how to have a great mixer type party where you get to know other people and you don't just kind of stand in your corner and look at your phone for a while and nurse your drink or whatever it may be. It's built around wearing name tags and having, I don't remember the term that they use for them, but mixer type questions where you go around the room and everybody answers and things like that. That really sparks conversation, allows people to get to know each other much better. And you set a time limit. It's 2 hours, and then you send them out the door. I had actually done this for a St. Patrick's Day party with some friends from church, and I had to kick them out after 2 hours. I was rude and said, "Okay, party's over." That makes you anticipate the next one that much more. But we had so much fun, and it was really neat to have that kind of circle experience where everybody was answering questions. We talked about things like what your favorite breakfast food is, or the other one I think I asked was around where you went to elementary school, which you'd think. I invited a whole bunch of Wells ladies that it would be a whole bunch of Wells schools, but it was like all over the country and all different settings and all this kind of stuff. It was really fun and interesting. I asked one about your favorite place to go out to eat in Mankato or something like that. And it just sparked so much conversation. Someone came up to me when I talked about my schooling in Mississippi and said they were studying the Civil War with their homeschool kids and they had studied about my hometown and we got to talk about that and stuff. So who knows what kind of connections you might make in a 2-hour cocktail party. I think it's a great format. After doing the kind of general webinar on all different ways to connect with people, then they did a specific webinar on the 2-hour cocktail party. So if you want to go back and listen to those, you can do those through the Wells Women's Ministry site, and I'll dig up a link to those as well. But great book. I really enjoyed it. I'm still following the author, Nick Gray. I'm getting his emails and things, and he's just a really interesting guy as well, and just always kind of sparking some creativity and thinking outside of the box kind of things. So I highly recommend the 2-hour cocktail party. You don't
Nice.
have to serve cocktails either.
Nice. Yeah. It's great to find application like that and a format that seems to work. Cool. My second pick of 2024 is a online service called Give Butter. And my congregation, we were looking for a way to easily provide, let's say, a QR code or a way for people to do online donations. And yeah, we have Vanco and some of the tools that they provide, but at that point it was a little kludgy, and one-time gifts weren't all that easy. It wasn't very pretty. And we stumbled across Give Butter. I did a little bit of research, and they provide some nice, easy plug-and-play tools, mobile-friendly, QR code creation, social media-friendly. And it's something that we still use today. We push up the QR code in church during the offering, and we have people who use that each and every Sunday. There is a transaction fee if you do it that way, although there's a transaction fee, with things like Vanco too. But just a super simple way, and now we are beginning to use it in other applications for parents to contribute to field trip expenses, wherever you have an opportunity for a free will offering, let's say at a potluck or whatever, at a concession stand. It's easy to create new campaigns. You can have as many as you want. Very secure, comes right into your bank account once the gift has been made. There's some good reporting tools. I really have not found an issue with this service. And again, it's easy for volunteers to manage as well, and just has a nice place in our particular ministry. So nice application of technology. Again, mobile friendly and just easy for people to use and to give through it. So that's Give Butter.
Excellent.
Sally, you want to go on to your number one pick,
Yeah.
2024.
And this has been a pick of mine in the past, and I look back and it was on my list from 2023. So this is like a two-time returning Super Bowl champ for me. My number one last year and my repeated number one this year is the website Canva, canva.com, and it allows you to design. And when I say design, I used to mean, and probably just last year I meant design imagery or social media posts or things like that. But Canva, my eyes have been open to so much more that it can do. Everything from shared whiteboarding, presentations, websites, documents, all kinds of things that Canva can do. Kind of the sky's the limit. And they've capitalized on hooking into other services. So Canva has AI available. So you can generate those AI type images to go along with what you want to do. For instance, the silent mice at the beginning came from Canva, where I just put in mice being quiet or something like that. I'm not quite sure what prompt I gave it, but I ended up with that imagery of the little mice holding their microphones. So Canva is extremely creative. Another capability that I was kind of blown away by is the fact that it has almost like a mail merge capability with one of the add-ins. You can give it a list of things and an area of an image or a PowerPoint or whatever it is that you're working on that you want to plug that, and it'll generate a whole set of images with, the changed information specific. Maybe there's a different image you want plugged in, but the exact same thing over and over, or different wording you want plugged in. So you can bulk generate custom images, perhaps something for the students in your classroom or whatever it may be. And again, it just kind of takes spending a little time. This ties together also with Rachel's AI tool repository. I don't know if you noticed, Martin, but as I was screen sharing that, there was a whole ton of stuff about the magic of Canva and how you can use Canva to do things in your classroom. And Canva is actually allows free accounts for education. So we can throw a link in the show notes. As I mentioned that, during one of the shows this year, somebody wrote to me and said, and they have free accounts for nonprofit as well. So I signed up and got a free pro account, which has so much more capabilities and images built in and things that you can make sure of, make use of. So I got a pro account for our technology office to make use of. So it kind of gives you unlimited capabilities with different image creation and video creation and all the things around imagery and content. AI writing tools built in will even allow you to upload some of your own text, and it will change the text to your voice so that it's not written from the AI tool's point of view, but from in the type of voice that you normally write in, with the type of language, syntax, et cetera, that you normally write in. So I'm describing all kinds of things, but I'm telling you, if you aren't signed up for a free pro account as a nonprofit or a school, now's the time to do it and just watch a few videos and unlock the amazing capabilities of Canva Pro. Highly recommend.
This is our first ever two-time winner.
Repeating champion,
Yeah.
yes.
Says a lot, so very cool. Let's finish off the picks with my number one. And again, we go into AI land. It is an AI chat bot called Perplexity.ai. Perplexity is a competitor to ChatGPT and Claude and all those. What makes it different and what kind of attracted me to it was it is not just based on a singular language, large language model. Because the if you know anything about how these generative AI tools work, is they have a defined set of data that they work against. Perplexity has that and can use all the other models, including ChatGPT's, OpenAI, etc. But it also searches the web, so it brings those two together. So it was really the first to allow you to, yes, search all the stuff that is in that large language model, but also search current content, which gives it a kind of a new superpower. And that's very valuable depending on how you're going to use your AI assistant. So much so that I signed up for the, I think, $20 a month subscription, which allows you to save searches and pick what language model you want to use. And there's a pro feature where it'll search across a bunch of different ones, so it gives you even more relevant data. It does image creation. They have something called Spaces that allow you to create a whole kind of area or website that you can share and collaborate on so that you're not in kind of a walled garden. Just a lot of different tools that they've been building up around the concept of generative AI. And I think they have maybe they haven't lapped the field, but because ChatGPT just added the web search capability not too long ago, but Perplexity has had it for a while. So I'll use this for many, many, many different things, home and office related, from creating policies and job descriptions to document summarization, outline creation, presentation creation. All those kinds of things are available through Perplexity.ai. So again, this falls in that category of something that I use every day and have used probably every day in 2024. That's why it's at the top of the list. So, pretty cool tool.
That's awesome. You know, as you were talking, I was realizing that there was one AI thing that we didn't mention that kind of blew us both away, and that was Notebook LM from Google. So maybe that one gets an honorable mention. I'll throw it in at the very end. But Notebook LM allows you to feed it sources and it compiles those for you. And you can even request an audio summary and get a
A
podcast
podcast,
basically of a
right?
couple of people discussing it. So, again, that just blew me away. And just thinking about the future and what the future holds with these kind of tools is pretty amazing. I'm excited, can you tell, for 2025 and the AI summit that we're planning. Should be a good thing.
Where does it all fit? Where is it going? Where does it what is its place and purpose in ministry? Interesting questions. So, Sally, I think that's going to do it for our show today, show 741. Good start to the new year. Year 11 awaits. Year 18 awaits. And as you mentioned, we're going to be having an AI summit. We're going to have Rachel and Jason back and more Sammer kinds of things and a lot more. I'm excited for the new year and what technology and ministry intersections we find along the way. So just a reminder to everybody, wellstech.wells.net is our show notes page where you can find all these picks and ministry resources and interviews and obviously all the videos and such and audio files. So if you're curious about what we've been up to, it's pretty easy to figure that out just by going to that site. That's also a place you can connect with us. Leave us a comment on one of the episodes or across the top upper right, you can see and click on all the different socials that we're a part of. There's also a pretty active Google group for Wells Tech. If you have a specific question you want to ask, not just Sally and myself, but the entire Wells Tech community, that's a great place to, a great thing to join and just kind of listen in if nothing else. So encourage you to get involved that way. Sally, that's going to about do it. We want to thank all of our listeners for their ears over 2024, and we hope that you bring them back for the rest of 2025 as we continue to talk about technology and ministry. Bye-bye, everybody. Talk to you soon.